Thank you for holding. Parties will be on a listen-only mode until the question-and-answer session of today's conference. At that time, you can press star one to ask a question. This conference is being recorded. I'd now like to turn the call over to Mr. Carl Fabricio, Senior Advisor for Communications and Public Affairs.
Thank you very much, operator, and thanks to all of you for joining the call. We're going to be discussing several policy and procedural changes the Labor Department is making to our press lockups. Since I know that there are many news organizations on the line, let me start by saying that this is not a press conference call. We're providing information to assist news organizations, both those that currently participate in the lockups and others that might be interested in understanding what the Labor Department is doing and how it may affect them. The information that we're providing is for planning purposes only. As the operator mentioned, this call is being recorded, and an audio file and transcript will be available on the DOL.gov website. Rather than go through my April 10 letter, the policy document, and the press alert line by line, I'd like to review and expand on some key points and highlight some important dates. We've got a lot of information to cover, so please bear with me, and I will answer all of your questions at the end of my remarks. First, let me give you some background. The Labor Department provides press lockups for one reason only, to serve the general public by facilitating the news media's ability to read, review, ask questions about, and prepare news stories explaining embargoed economic data reports. Participating news media are given the data reports under sequestered conditions 30 minutes before the reports are released to the public. That half-hour head start allows them reporting and writing time so that they can publish, broadcast, or post on the Internet news coverage at the same time the reports become public. And let me add here that there will be no change to the standard practice regarding the public posting of DOL data. That includes all Bureau of Labor Statistics and Employment and Training Administration, that is, unemployment insurance claims data. We are, however, making a special effort to ensure that data are cross-posted on the DOL website immediately. You should be aware that two statistical policy directives issued by the Office of Management and Budget, and those are Statistical Policy Directives numbers 3 and 4, give the department the option of offering pre-release access. And if we exercise that option, we are also required to establish procedures and security arrangements to ensure that there is no premature release of information or data estimates. So let me be clear. We're not required, either by OMB or any document or law, to offer press lockups. This is a courtesy we provide. And let me say it's one that I think is important and very well worth doing. But it, and participation by news organizations in it, is not a right. It's been more than a decade since the department reviewed its entire lockup operations, and over that time, the world has changed dramatically. It's simply prudent management to review and update our processes. We decided that the best option is to reinvent and continue our press lockups rather than abolish them altogether. Staff from the Office of Public Affairs, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the Employment and Training Administration, the Office of the Solicitor, and the Office of the Assistant Secretary for Administration and Management have worked closely together on this effort. We have given careful planning and deliberation throughout the process. That said, let me briefly touch on several topics that I think of the most interest and concern. The first is the new credentialing process. I want to clarify, because there seems to be some confusion about this, that all current Department of Labor press credentials will expire on Thursday, July 5th. By that, I mean the credentials not only of an organization's individual reporters or other personnel, but the organization itself. The department is starting its credentialing process from scratch. Every news organization interested in attending our lockups after July 5th must send us a request stating that interest no later than Tuesday, April 24th. I should note that a timely request does not guarantee that credentials will be granted. The department has a limited amount of space available in its lockup facilities and is looking to allocate it in a way that will reach the broadest spectrum and greatest number of readers, viewers, and listeners of news. The most basic criteria is twofold. One, that the organization asking to participate must be a primarily journalistic enterprise, and two, that it must prepare and publish, broadcast and, or post on the Internet, time-sensitive summaries and or analysis of Department of Labor data. Summaries and or analysis must be likely to contribute significantly to public understanding of the data. As the new policy also reflects, in making credentialing decisions, we will be seeking to ensure that the group of news organizations credentialed, considered as an overall group and not necessarily on an individual basis, distributes a variety of types of news products that reach a wide and diverse audience. Let me also stress that we will not consider editorial or political viewpoint in making our credentialing decisions. As part of its request, each news organization is welcome to provide any information it believes is relevant to the criteria I mentioned. However, we're not requesting any specific information from you other than a formal request by the particular news organization signed by the Washington Bureau Chief with a phone number and email address. And you should be aware that we may also use publicly available information as part of the decision-making process. Credentialing decisions will be made by career employees of the Labor Department. No political appointees, and that includes myself, will be involved in this process. I also want to mention the allocation of workstations for both our main lockup facility and our facility for television reporters. For many years, some organizations have been credentialed for multiple spaces, further restricting the total number of organizations that can participate. That's going to change. The department's default will be to grant one workstation or seat per credentialed news organization. However, the granting of more than one seat will be based on requests to that effect supported by legitimate needs, in DOL's view, for the additional space. And let me explain something further. Once a news organization is credentialed, we will credential as many reporters as the news organization needs to fulfill its mission. So yes, news organizations may rotate those individuals from lockup to lockup depending on how many seats you have been designated. In short, backup staff can be credentialed. I want to underscore one more time, these new credential guidelines apply to all interested news organizations. No one's going to be grandfathered in, and no advantage will be given to those organizations that currently participate in lockups. Requests for credentials should be sent by email to Jennifer Kaplan. That's Kaplan, K-A-P-L-A-N, dot Jennifer, J-E-N-N-I-F-E-R, at DOL.gov. News organizations will be notified of their status by May 8th. A list of credentialed media outlets will be posted in the newsroom of our website. Let me move on to the next topic, which is the technology. Currently, organizations that participate in our lockups use their own computer and phone equipment, which is installed in our facilities. The telephone and data lines they use belong to and have been maintained by them. That, too, is changing. June 14th is the date of the last Labor Department lockup under the current system. We will have open hours on Thursday, June 14th, and Friday, June 15th, from 10 a.m. to noon and 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time, during which all currently participating organizations should plan to have their equipment removed. Even if a news organization receives credentials under the new policy, its equipment must be removed. The department's main lockup facility will be closed for a three-week period during which the room will be reconfigured with new computer equipment, telephone, and data lines. The Labor Department will own and maintain that equipment and those lines. If your equipment is not removed during the open hours, it will be removed by DOL IT staff and stored by the Office of Public Affairs. Let me give you a snapshot of what credentialed news organizations, as well as their reporters, can expect from the time they enter the new main lockup facility. As is the case now, the room will be opened a half hour before the lockup begins. Each workstation will offer a telephone, monitor, mouse, and a keyboard. The server and network gear will be located in the lockup room within a locked cage but separate from the workspace area. Users will be able to log onto their desktops at assigned workspaces. Those who want time to prepare notes or drafts can take advantage of the extra half hour to use Microsoft Word, which will be loaded on the computers. However, there will not be internet access until the conclusion of the lockup. The press releases and tables of the Bureau of Labor Statistics currently provides to reporters on a compact disk under the new system will be mounted on the department's server and presented to each desktop as a virtual CD-DVD drive. The same is true for the Employment and Training Administration's press releases and what is commonly referred to as the page 8 state details that are currently provided on a thumb drive. At 8:30 a.m., when the embargo ends, a wall switch will be flipped, enabling internet access, the same as now. The only difference will be that internet access will not be allowed in the half hour before the lockup begins. And finally, secure copy / secure file transfer capabilities will be installed on computers as part of their desktop image. This will allow reporters to confidentially transmit their stories over the Internet to whatever recipient or system they choose. Now, if news organizations believe that they'd benefit from having at hand electronic files of BLS-generated historical data that provides context on trends, we'll be more than happy to provide everyone in the room access to those, again, using our server to load materials in advance onto the computers. And let me add, if you all think there's a need to create charts, graphs, and tables, we'd like to hear from you about what you need and why, and we'll be happy to explore possible solutions during the transition phase. There will be a new rule that personal effects must be placed in lockers outside the lockup facility before entering the rooms. However, carrying in paper research notes and other paper materials will be allowed. Carrying in pens and pencils will not be permitted. The department will provide writing instruments as well as plain paper for note-taking inside the lockup rooms. I am very interested in hearing your thoughts about other reference materials and tools that news organizations may feel are necessary for them to do their jobs in carrying out the public service purpose of the lockups. So if you have suggestions or concerns, you can bring those to our attention either during the Q&A after my remarks, or you can post them publicly on the newsroom of our website, and I do promise that we will give serious consideration to all your thoughts and ideas. Finally, I'd like to note that in addition to the changes outlined in my letter and in the policy, we have also made changes to our internal procedures. Most significant is the fact that only career employees will be allowed to staff the lockups. That policy went into effect 2 weeks ago. Before I take your questions, I want to say a few words about how sanctions for infractions of the new set of rules will be handled. We take our responsibility for security of pre-release access to statistical information very seriously. In the past, there have been consequences when someone was caught breaking the rules. Over the past 2 years, for example, two individuals at different news organizations were suspended from participation. It's important that everyone understands that a single infraction may result in the entire organization or an individual being permanently barred from participation. Ignorance of the policy will be no excuse, and this is not an opportunity to ask forgiveness rather than permission. There will be no appeals process. And I think our new policy agreement is comprehensive, but we can't anticipate every scenario under which a sanction might apply. If you don't know or aren't sure if an action is permitted, it's better to ask. Over the past week, I've also heard questions about how the new rules will apply specifically to participants in the television lockups. So let me talk a little bit about that. Reporters in that lockup are sequestered for 28 minutes and stand outdoors for the last 2 minutes while waiting to broadcast their reports live at 8:30. Should there be a breach of the embargo on TV, we'll know it immediately. And I can assure you it will not happen twice because credentialing of the network will be revoked. The current process for television reporting throughout the lockups under the new rules is unchanged, other than that news organizations must follow the same request process for credentials, and participants will have to store their belongings in lockers at a designated location in the Perkins building. If you're worried about coats in the wintertime or umbrellas when it's raining, we're a step ahead of you, and don't worry, provisions will be provided. Let me conclude by reviewing some key dates that you're going to need to keep in mind. April 24th by 6 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time is the deadline for requests for credentials. May 8th is the Labor Department's deadline for informing news organizations of their status regarding credentials. June 14th is the date of the department's last lockup under the current technology. June 14th and 15th are the dates of the department's open hours to remove current equipment from our main lockup facility. Organizations currently holding Labor Department credentials may participate through Thursday, July 5th, regardless of their future status. While our main lockup room is being reconfigured, there will be three Labor Department lockups to release the UI claims. Those will be held at the U.S. Department of Commerce's lockup facility. For those of you currently holding labor credentials, we will provide details for that soon. No BLS lockups are scheduled during that period, and broadcasters, you should note that there's no arrangement for television at the Commerce Department, frankly, because the networks typically don't cover that, and they only cover the monthly release of the Employment Situation Report. Friday, July 6th is the date of the Labor Department's first lockup, for which the newly credentialed policy will be in place, and our room will be equipped with new computers and phone equipment. And yes, that is the date for the June Employment Situation Report. Between May 8th and July 6th, finally, we will invite news organizations that have been newly credentialed to a mandatory orientation. This will include a hands-on demonstration, and it will ensure that everything runs smoothly and participants know exactly how the process will work. I want you all to rest assured that during the weeks that our facility is being turned over, we will be testing, testing, and testing. I very much appreciate your time and patience on the call. I appreciate your cooperation moving forward. I'm sure you have plenty of questions. So, operator, if you could, let's open up for questions. I ask that you identify yourself by name and the organization that you represent. And, again, my thanks for your attention and your cooperation.
If you'd like to ask a question from the phones, press star 1. Please unmute your phone and record your name. To withdraw your question, press star 2. Once again, it's star 1 to ask a question, and you do need to record your name. Please stand by for the first question. The first question is from Lynn Hume. Please state your affiliation.
Washington Bureau Chief for the Bond Buyer. I appreciate the fact that you're going to allow people in for technical demonstrations and that sort of thing. I just wonder if it just seems difficult going to a completely new situation for the unemployment report. Are you completely wedded to that? It just seems like such an important indicator to start off with a whole new process.
Jen, I appreciate your concern. I mean, one of the things that we're battling against is the calendar and when we have time and the availability of the room to make the changes. We looked at every possible scenario we could, and that three-week window where we only have the UI claims and can do those at the Commerce Department is the only opportunity. Then we go into the first Friday of the month and the employment situation report. So we did give this a lot of thought, and I appreciate that there is some concern that, you know, the first time we test this out is with the big number. But I can assure you that we are working very hard to make sure that the process is seamless and perfect, as it always has been.
And if I could just follow up with a quick question, we typically bring in estimates or people's projections as to what the indicator is going to be. We will be allowed to continue to do that. It sounded like you said that was the case.
It's our lockup. Are you talking about during the
bringing into the lockup any research that we've done in terms of what the projections will be for the lockup, that sort of thing?
As long as it's on paper, you can't bring in disks or thumb drives or any type of electronic devices.
Right. Okay.
Operator, we'll take the next question.
The next question is from Daniel Moss. Please state your affiliation.
Bloomberg News. I'm just wondering, why is the Labor Department choosing to do this now? And what is the problem that you believe you are trying to fix, given the master switch is already in place working effectively?
David, it's been, as I mentioned, 10 years since we took a holistic view of the lockup, and times have certainly changed. Why now rather than any other time? Now is the right time to do it.
What is the problem that you imagine you're trying to fix, given there is an effective master switch there already that controls access out of the room for the information?
There's nothing we necessarily expect. I think we're doing prudent business management of reviewing our systems. And looking at the changes in technology and the way that the news is delivered, and have decided that now is the correct time to institute these changes. We have a three-week window where we can test and retest the technology. We're giving bureau chiefs and news media plenty of time to adapt to these changes. I think now's the perfect time to do this.
Do I interpret your response, Carl, as meaning there's no current problem?
What I'm trying to do is prevent a problem, Daniel.
What is the problem you think you imagine that this will prevent?
I think we're going to move on.
Why?
Operator, we'll take the next question.
The next question is from William Maudlin. Please state your affiliation.
That's William Maudlin from Dow Jones. And I guess what we're looking at is with Daniel's question and ours, is that and today we distribute the news not with printing presses, but with computers and software. So, and we do that, which serves the public and the financial world and subscribers alike. And what we're wondering is how much of our own software or hardware are we going to be able to use? Are we going to switch terminals or use the same one each time under this system if it's adopted? And what exact software will we be able to use to transfer the files online, if not our own software, which is essentially how we operate?
And the way that we're all going to operate has clearly changed. All of the technology will be provided by the department. The secure file transfer software will be installed on desktops, and that will be WinSCP. We'll take the next question, operator.
The next question is from Matt Cuddy. Please state your affiliation.
CNBC, so it's a television question, so pardon me for everyone else. The credentialing process, and I know you have a very serious number of limits in the big lockup room. 90% of the time we use the same correspondent. Is there going to be an issue with the number of correspondents that we register to do this?
You can register as many as you need for backup purposes.
For backup, okay. And the cameramen maintain the same, or should all of them be also registered, even though they won't technically go in the lockup room?
You should submit names for everybody that you think possibly would need credentials, and you need to. And just so you know, everybody needs to be re-credentialed.
Right. Okay. Even if they're not going to the room, the cameramen and such still need a new credential. Okay, got it.
You need to apply for your credential for CNBC first.
Right.
If you're accepted, then we'll figure out the credentialing of individuals.
Got it.
Thanks, Matt. Operator, we'll take the next question.
The next question is from Rob Doherty. Please state your affiliation.
Hi, I'm with Reuters. I wanted to take another crack, if I could, at Dan's question. These are pretty drastic changes, and it really does pose the question as to what problem you're trying to solve. You mentioned in your opening only two people suspended over 2 years. It seems like the current system is working. So, again, I don't mean to press a point, but I think we deserve an answer as to why such drastic changes at this point.
Robert, I appreciate your concern, but we're not going to comment on security issues.
So are there additional problems beyond the two, or are those the only two problems that have emerged in the last 2 years?
We have taken a holistic look at what the process has been, and this is a proactive approach to moving forward. Operator, we'll take the next question.
Brad Foss, you may ask your question. Please state your affiliation.
Associated Press. Two questions. First is, when will news organizations be able to conduct their own testing before a switch in the systems? I know you said you're going to bring people in and do a demonstration, but what about further testing on our own?
Testing can take place during that open house period. Let me just confirm this. After June 15th, you can come in and test.
So there's potentially 3 weeks then of testing. Okay.
That's correct. We will let you know.
All right. Second question is, you mentioned earlier that you reiterated that broadcast media has this 2 minutes still to prepare itself, and I'm wondering why the decision to treat broadcast media different from other forms of media? Why not give a two-minute period to those who would be filing information to the Internet, for example?
Everybody transmits at 8:30, and the reason why some news media are treated differently is because, frankly, some news media are different. The situation in the lockup room downstairs is different than the television situation. Operator, we'll take the next question.
The next question is from Stephen Goldstein. Please state your affiliation.
Hi, I'm with Market Watch, and I have a number of questions, and briefly I also express my disapproval, but let me ask my questions anyway. Now, before the half hour, so in other words, let's say it's 7:45 on days of the unemployment report, will we be able to go on the Internet so that we can get our filing tools, ready to go so we can file, or will the Internet just switch on at 8:30?
No Internet access before the lockup.
Okay. In terms of connecting to our networks, will there be any sort of VPN, or right now we have a direct link into our corporate network? Will that be permitted?
No VPN.
But will the existing link that we have, will that continue so that we're right into the network?
We're taking all of the lines that are owned not by the Department of Labor out of the Department of Labor.
Okay, so we won't be able to use VPN, and we won't be able to use our current network. I mean, I'm just at a loss how we're supposed to do this. I don't see the way you're describing it. We're going to have to email our stories to another reporter to send them out.
Secure file transfer software will be installed on the desktops. You can use WinSCP.
And then one question that I think somebody else asked, but I didn't recall hearing an answer. Will it be the same computer each time?
Yes, you'll have the same computer assigned the same computer at the workstation.
Okay, thank you.
But we are reserving the right to randomize the computers and to change them as needed.
Thank you.
We'll take the next question.
The next question is from Mark Tapscott. Please state your affiliation.
The Washington Examiner. This is Mark Tapscott. Carl, I'm really puzzled why you won't tell us more about what problem it specifically is that you're trying to address and solve by forcing journalists to use government computers. You guys don't handle classified material, at least not that I know of, and you haven't told us anything about what the two journalists who did commit violations, what they did. You're really leaving us all in the air.
Well, I certainly think that the integrity and security of the data is paramount, and that we have taken a very good look at our policies and our procedures, and noting that the world has changed since we did that last, which was 10 years ago, and we have made a prudent business decision to change our policies. Let me remind you, Mark, that the Department of Labor is not required to do these lockups. This is an option, and as part of, if we do exercise the option, we are in charge of the security of the information and the technology. So we are simply restarting the program from scratch for a broad base, after a broad-based and holistic look at our policies and procedures. I'm not going to comment on security issues.
Well, would you let me have one follow-up, if I could?
I'd be delighted to, Mark.
I'm sorry?
I said go ahead.
would you comment on some basis on what violations were committed by the two journalists and who were they?
All right, let me remind you that this conversation is designed for information and planning purposes only, but if you're not going to respect that, I will simply say this. In the past, there have been violations of the embargo and the use of equipment in the lockups. Those were brought to our attention. We worked closely with the bureau chiefs on a corrective measure, and we moved forward. I'll take the next question. Thank you.
The next question is from Nick Ballin. Please state your affiliation.
Hi, this is Nick Ballin with GG Press. I had a two-part question, but it's related. I was wondering if you could talk to me about what support or arrangements you will have for foreign news media who need to write in a language other than English. Specifically, I'm wondering if you'll configure the computer so we can type in other languages. And in that, with that regard, I was wondering what support the programs and the transfer secure transfer software you will have on installed will have for 16-bit encoding as opposed to 8-bit encoding in English. Thank you.
We're happy to work with the foreign press on their specific needs, and we can address that separately. But we have made such provisions.
Okay, thank you.
I'll take the next question, please.
The next question is from Bill Schomburg. Please state your affiliation.
Yeah, this is Bill Schomburg at Reuters. Just a question on that somebody else raised earlier. I mean, with the hardware and the software that we'll be allowed to use, are we going to be able to use any sort of publishing format on that, which will go directly to our publishing platforms, or do you think it's going to have to be by email that we send that out?
As I've noted before, we're making available WinSCP.
So WinSCP does exactly what?
It's a document transfer program. It makes sure it gives you the ability to transfer your documents.
Okay, so it does sound like we would have to actually handle the formatting and publication, formatting of the information outside of the lockup then, to get them onto our systems.
I'm not sure that's the case. That's something that we can explore during the transition time.
Okay. I mean, it does sound to me like there is a risk of the information being published in a much more uneven and patchy way than under the current system, and I fear that will be confusing to markets.
No, I appreciate your concern. What we very much want to do is during the transition period work with you to make sure that we can address as many of your concerns as possible. Question, please.
The next question is from Diane Ruggiero. Please state your affiliation.
Hi, Carl. I'm Diane Ruggiero from CNN. I have a credentialing question. Are we supposed to, the first April 24th deadline, is that just for the organization only and not individuals?
That's correct, Diane.
Okay. And then after we are accepted, if we are, then we talk about individuals.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Are you ready for the next question?
Thank you, operator. I am.
The next question is from Clint Rea from Need to Know News.
Hi. Got two environmental questions. One is the documents you sent out mentioned using virtual desktops, but it sounds like you're actually using separate computers just connected to a file server. Do I have that right?
No, you don't.
Okay.
It's its own OS sitting on its own server.
Okay, so it is a shared virtual desktop on the server then. The other question is, what is the browser and version of the browser that's available in this environment?
That would be IE9.
All right, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Operator, we'll take the next question.
Again, it's star one. If you'd like to ask a question, please record your name. The next question comes from Chris Willits. Please state your affiliation.
Oh, yes, I am from Bloomberg News. I wanted to ask if during the lockups, if anything goes wrong, what kind of technology backup will there be? Will there be someone there to help us with technical issues, if there are issues with the workstation?
We're going to have a couple of extra workstations for our IT staff to be based at, along with BLS staff. So we will provide, particularly through the transition phase and as you know, after the after June, IT staff to assist you.
And when you say something is going to be posted to the internet immediately, what does that mean exactly?
I'm sorry?
When you say something will be posted to the internet immediately, does that mean precisely at 8:30 or?
Yeah, one of the new features that we're adding is that, as you know, the BLS posts their number at 8:30, but there's a lag in it being posted on the DOL main page. So we will have a staffer in the DOL in the lockup so that immediately after it's posted on the BLS, it'll be posted on the front page of DOL.gov. There's been some concerns about some speed time on the BLS, so we just wanted to make sure that there was a second place where there would be credible data for the number. I'll take the next question, operator.
The next question is from Karai Ansel. Please state your affiliation.
Hi, this is Karai Ansel from Bloomberg News. Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine. Thank you, Karai. Go ahead.
Hi. You indicated that the browser will be IE9. Will there be any restrictions on the browser in terms of what software it can run, such as client-side software, JavaScript, Java, applets, controls?
No restriction.
Okay. Second question, if I may ask, is the currently we own the hardware and we ensure its performance. How will you ensure that all the equipment in the lockup room will perform fairly?
I'm not sure I understand perform fairly or just perform.
Perform as good as the next workstation. We ensure by doing regular checkups, we ensure that our equipment is up to date and primed before every release. How will you ensure the same type of performance to us with this new setup?
All the computers will be the same.
Okay.
I'll take the next question, please.
The next question I have is, if I may ask, what will be the format of the files that you will provide in the virtual drive or the mapped drive?
I don't think we know the answer to that yet, but we can certainly provide that information just very soon.
Okay, and the last question is, will the PCs be wiped off after each lockup and rebuilt since they're virtual, or will the cookies and such files will be remaining on the PC.
The user profile will be kept, but the system will be reloaded. And regarding the previous question, I believe it's HTML. I'll take the next question, please, operator.
The next question is from Heather Scott. Please state your affiliation.
Hi, I'm the Washington Bureau Chief for MNI. Obviously, want to echo the concerns of my colleagues, the other wires, for these sort of draconian measures that you're asking the wires to change how they have deliver the news, which is what our business is based on. We don't email stories to our clients. We don't post them on Facebook. We don't post them on a website. They're directly delivered to our clients. So you're asking everyone to reprogram how they do that. And many other agencies, including your own, have done this for years without problems. So it seems like, changing the entire software environment that we're operating in is quite a drastic measure in the absence of a major problem. You're penalizing the people that are, abiding by the rules rather than directing any, concerns at those agencies that have had issues.
Question.
Now, I do absolutely have a question that, since we didn't answer the previous questions on this issue, I wanted to make sure you knew that we echo the concerns of our colleagues. The question is, will we get the versions of the software you're going to be using in advance to test and reprogram? How will you ensure that when the switch is flipped, everyone will be connected simultaneously? Serial connections that most agencies use in the lockups connect automatically. Other internet connections do not connect right away, so you will have uneven an unfair release of the data, which you say is not that your concern is to release the data for everyone at the same time and have a level playing field, and this is decidedly not going to accomplish that.
I lost your question.
How will you ensure that the connection, when it's restored, is the same for everyone? Because an internet connection does not come back at the same rate for every single PC. Which the serial connections we have now are restored instantly. And will we get the software in advance so that we can reprogram how we deliver our stories to our clients?
We're not going to give you the software, but you can certainly test. It's Windows 7 and, as I mentioned before, WinSCP.
And the internet connection?
Microsoft Word.
And the connection to the internet? How are you ensuring that that's going to be even for all the agencies in the lockup?
It's a shared system.
But they don't come back. They don't come back at the same rate.
It's a shared system. I'm not really sure what else I can say. We'll certainly test it and keep testing it, and you'll be part of that testing program if you're credentialed.
So you'll guarantee that every agency will be connected to the internet at exactly the same millisecond?
I can guarantee anything.
So it won't be a level playing field?
It's going to be as my letter and the policy shows clearly, we are totally leveling the playing field because everybody's getting the same thing.
But if we don't connect to the internet at the same speed, at the same time, it won't be level, whereas the TVs will be right at 8:30 broadcasting, for example.
Right. Are you talking about milliseconds?
Milliseconds or even seconds. I'll break it down. If you don't connect to the internet at the same time, different agencies will be transmitting at different times. So if it's you're installing the lines and it's your system, are you going to guarantee and ensure that all the PCs, when the switch is connected, connect at the same rate?
Using the same cutoff as we've used before. So if you didn't have a problem with that before, you shouldn't have a problem with it now.
But we have a serial connection now. It's a different one you're installing, as I understand it.
This is what we're offering, Heather.
So you're not going to test to make sure that they all connect to the internet at the same rate, or are you going to test that?
As I've mentioned, we're going to test as many different aspects of this as we should. I'll take the next question, please.
The next question is from Patrick Maroney. Please state your affiliation.
M&I. Hello. I've got just a couple quick questions. Number one, will Excel be available on the desktops? Number two, you speak of a virtual environment. Will the appliances themselves be available for testing such that we can actually bring it back to our environment? And then third, kind of following up Heather's question, the method for which machines connect to the Internet, if they're all requesting an IP address from a server, the server is going to service each one of those connections one at a time indiscriminately, and that will not necessarily be a level – it won't all happen at the same time. Some people's machines will connect sooner than others. Is there any possibility that you could expand further on how you're going to accomplish everybody connecting simultaneously?
I didn't catch all of your questions, so let me address the first one about Excel. A spreadsheet isn't necessary either to utilize the text and tables provided by BLS or ETA, but based on what we know, reporters also don't need it to produce their summaries and analysis. But if that's wrong, there's a legitimate need for spreadsheet software, we'll explore that, and we can and will provide it. That's the type of input we definitely need from all of you. So if those are types of issues that we may not have addressed yet or that you've thought of, please let us know. Repeat your last two questions, please.
You speak of a virtual environment. Essentially, that's in technical parlance, it's called an appliance. And you could give that appliance the number of people such that they could actually install it in their own virtual environment and see how it works. Will that be available? And then again, with regard to the way machines reconnect to a host, it is not going to be an instantaneous process where everybody goes on at the same time. What they're doing is they're going to be sending a request to a server for an IP address. That server is going to respond to each machine as one at a time. I would not expect that for everybody to be able to connect at the same time. I guess what I really want is more detailed technical information as to how you guys are going to accomplish the disconnect and how you're going to accomplish the reconnect.
All right, what I'd like to do is turn this over to a member of our IT staff who can address your specific concerns.
There's a little bit of a mix-up here. The workstations will already have IP addresses assigned. The only thing that's being terminated is the Internet address. In other words, you won't be able to go outbound to the Internet. When you flip the switch, what will be turned on is not the IP address to your local system. It will be the IP address to the Internet to allow you to go outbound.
Okay, so essentially, could it be like kind of a metaphor? Everybody gets a route restored to the internet at 8:30.
That's close. Yes.
Okay, and again, with regard to the appliance itself, the VM, the virtual appliance, will we be able to get a copy of that ahead of time for testing?
We can't apply it to you, but we can tell you the spec that we're using.
Okay, very good.
All right. Operator, what's the next question?
The next question is from Cormac Brady. Please state your affiliation.
Hi, good evening. This is Cormac Brady from Thomson Reuters. Question regarding the HTML file that you described, which will be provided to the desktop. Will we have the ability to edit that file, manipulate that file, change to use a different file format in the WinFTP protocol?
You're going to have to speak louder. We could barely hear what you're saying. Can you repeat your question again?
Certainly. Can you hear me now?
Can hear you much better now. Thank you.
Thank you. With regards to the HTML file that will be provided to the desktop, will we be able to edit that file, modify that file, or change to use a different file format in the WinFTP protocol?
Yes, you would. Operator, we'll take the next question.
Again, it's star one to ask a question. Please record your name. The next question is from Bill Malden. Please state your affiliation. Mr. Malden, please check your mute button.
Is the intent at Labor to release the data simultaneously on the Labor website on the public internet with no lag at 8:30?
Bill, let me interrupt. We can barely hear you. Can you speak up, please?
Yes, I'm just wondering if the data will be released simultaneously on the Labor website, searchable with the public, at the very same time, 8:30 exactly, as the lockup ends. And also whether you care about the orderly dissemination of this data or just whether any of it escapes before 8:30.
Let me answer your first question first. Nothing will change regarding the, as it's always been, the information is posted by the Bureau of Labor Statistics at 8:30 simultaneous with the lift of the embargo. I care about everything related to this initiative.
And because we would need to use our systems, probably would help systems and software to ensure that it's disseminated as accurately and as quickly as possible. That at least is what we're working from here.
You know, we certainly are aware that there are a lot of questions and a lot of concerns. This is certainly a new process. We are giving enough time to ask questions, to work with us, to figure out how best we can all do this together. Operator, we'll take the next question.
The next question is from Brad Foss. Please state your affiliation.
Hi, AP. I was just cut off. I was trying to ask a follow-up before, which it's sort of come back up again, this issue of the internet connection is one thing, the ability to publish being another. In the past, the 2 minutes advantage that was given to television media was leveled out. Now you will have information going to TV viewers first and to probably the much larger internet audience, not seconds, but minutes or potentially several minutes later, depending on who's publishing it. I'm just curious if that's you're aware of that and all that, how that, if there's a way around that.
Brett, I'm not aware of this because I don't think it's the case.
Okay, so so here's how, in theory, based on my understanding of the new system, how it will work for a lot of us. At 8:30, aside from people who have technology that scrapes numbers from the internet and spits it back out with the use of a computer, those who are using individuals to write stories and publish stories at 8:30 will have to send that information to somebody else via email, however long that takes. That person in a bureau somewhere else will have to take the information in whatever format it's being sent from, put it into a new software publishing system, click all kinds of boxes, and then send it out, which time minutes elapse. currently those minutes elapse in your environment, and so when you click the internet connection at labor, it's instantaneous that all the news agencies publish at once, including television reporters revealing to their audiences what's happening. Now at 8:30, you'll have TV reporters announcing the news immediately, and I suspect a lot of other people spending minutes trying to get their information to a bureau somewhere to have it then formatted into a new computer system and then have it get sent out to the world. So there will be minutes elapsing in terms of when the information is broadcast on TV versus when it is available to people who read the internet, excluding those who might be trying to get onto your website to just look at the raw data.
Right, but I'm going to let my colleague from the Bureau of Labor Statistics try to address some of your concerns.
Hi, this is Michael Levy from BLS. I think you're exaggerating the amount of time that it will take to accomplish this. You will have Microsoft Word available to you. You can do whatever formatting, including special codes, embedded fields, whatever it is you need. You will be able to transfer that file at exactly 8:30. It should reach your server microseconds later. I don't know what formatting software you use on your side, but what you would need to look into is how you take a Microsoft Word document and get it efficiently into whatever format, whatever software you need on your side. I would think that could happen extremely quickly.
We use a Word-based publishing system, but there's definitely time it takes for human hands to take something that's a Word document and convert it into a document that can be published on the internet to customers, etc. Millions of people who, you know, other radio broadcasters, TV stations, and the like. And I'm not trying to exaggerate. I'm trying to give you a fair representation of how it works.
Okay, I appreciate your comment. We'll take the next question, please.
The next question is from Mark Tapscott. Please state your affiliation.
The Washington Examiner. Carl, once this new process is up and running...
Mark, we lost you.
I'm here now.
Okay, go ahead. I heard once this new process is up and running.
Yeah, once the new process is up and running, at what point will Secretary Salas or the White House press office or anybody else in the White House receive this data?
The process for how the data is distributed to members of the administration will not change, nor will the fact that the representatives from the administration will not comment on the data for an hour after its release.
Could you briefly explain how that's distributed now and how it would be different, if at all, under the new system?
It won't be different at all. It won't be different at all. I'm comfortable basically talking about how the secretary, and by the way, the correct pronunciation of her last name is Solis.
Yes.
I'm comfortable discussing what that lockup scenario is like for her. The commissioner and some staff come to her office at 8 o'clock. They bring the data and brief her from 8 to 8:30. No one is allowed to leave the room, use cell phones, use the phone, et cetera, during that lockup process. At 8:30, the commissioner and the commissioner's staff leave. Secretary doesn't make comments on the numbers until after 9:30. It's been a tradition here, actually, that we add 5 minutes, so she doesn't do it until 9:35.
Right.
That process has been longstanding, and it will not change. Operator, I'll take the next question.
The next question is from Stephen Goldstein. Please state your affiliation.
Hi, Steve from MarketWatch again. I'm not sure that you appreciate that on our side, you know, we have secure measures as well. So you can't just go into our system through the internet. We all have our own ways of doing so. The way that we use a very common device called a secure ID token, if we don't have that, we won't be able to access our networks, will we be able to bring in a secure ID token into the newsroom?
No. Take the next question.
The next question is from Rod Doherty. Please state your affiliation.
It's Rob Doherty from Reuters. I just want to follow up on a question that was asked a few minutes ago now about the fairness of computers and each of the computers. Since the Department of Labor will be supplying and maintaining the equipment, are you all assuming any liability if it fails?
You know what? That's a legal question, and I have to check on that. But I'll get back to you.
Okay.
Thanks. Operator, we'll take the next question.
The next question is from Ann Brocklehurst. Please state your affiliation.
I'm an independent journalist. I'm a little confused. I have a question for the technical people on about whether what's being transferred is an HTML file that proprietary systems will be able to use in the way they use their systems now, or if it's a Word document that will actually go out at 8:30.
And it's Word. That's the short answer to your question.
Okay, so it's not an HTML document. It's a Word document.
You can transfer those documents. You can transfer those documents. I mean, I think that's basically it.
At 8:30 or before 8:30 so that they're there when the switch is flipped?
After the switch is flipped.
Oh, okay.
All right, Operator, we'll take the next question.
Can I just ask a follow-up?
Of course. Go ahead, Ann.
Yeah, is anyone concerned about this? Because there will be a huge variation in the amount of time that it takes different organizations to transfer that data, which it seems to me would mean that it is going to get out at different times to different people.
I'm confused. Are you saying transfer or convert? And I'm not understanding your question. Transfer or convert?
Well, I guess I'm using them interchangeably. I mean convert.
Convert what to what?
Okay, well, right now, if someone's in the lockup, they put it in their system. So once 8:30 rolls around, everything goes out at 8:30 in their system, right? But if they've got a Word document, this means that at 8:30, what's going to be happened is that the Word document will be passed to their organization.
That's correct.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Dan. We'll take the next question.
The next question is from Cormac Brady. Please state your affiliation. Please check your mute button.
Hi, it's Cormac Brady, Thomson Reuters. Following on from that update, I understood from your earlier comments that we would get the HTML file up to 30 minutes before the embargo time, at which time we could then manipulate it as we saw fit, and then at embargo time transmit through WinFTP. Is that not the case?
That's correct.
So my understanding is correct.
Yes, it is. We'll take the next question, Operator.
Again, it's star one, and please record your name for any further questions.
Operator, do we have any more questions in the queue?
There are no further questions at this time.
I want to thank all of you for for your attention. I want to clarify an answer to one question. Seating may be dedicated or randomized inside the lockup facility, so there may or may not be assigned seating. That's something that we're exploring, and we're looking for your feedback views on that. If you have additional questions, I think one of the best ways, in the interest of sharing this information with everybody involved, is to post the question on the newsroom, and we certainly will answer them.
Again, a transcript of this discussion and an audio file will be up probably within the next the audio will be up today. The transcript will be up in about 2 days. Again, my thanks for your attention and for your cooperation as we move forward. Thanks very much.
That concludes today's conference. Please disconnect at this time.